Good morning, everybody. We'll rally ourselves two, three more times. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so good to see you. It's good to be together this morning. A big welcome to all of you. My name is Kristen. I'm the minister here for worship and spiritual care, and joining with me in leadership this morning is our minister for community engagement, Reverend Ruth Noble, our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our junior organ scholar, Cadence Brassard, and scattered among you is our choir, who you'll be hearing from. We want to welcome the McKelvey clan, I think we'll call you. Welcome to all of you on this day that's really meaningful for your family. And we welcome you as you support each other and hold each other on this day of remembering the people in your family. Thank all of you for being here and for helping to form this community this morning. Today is a special day. It's the day of Pentecost, and we are remembering today the story of how the church came to be. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, and that means the community of those who are summoned, those who are called forth. And that's what we're celebrating today, the power of the Holy Spirit to call us forth, to call us out, to be the church, to embody Christ's presence in the world, to embody love. It's a really special day, and so we're glad that you're all here to celebrate that with us. We're also celebrating confirmation. So Georgia and Carolina, we're happy to be celebrating this special day with you and your family as well. If this is your first Sunday here, we really want to welcome you, and we want you to know that after the service, just through those doors there, we gather for coffee and tea, and we hope you'll stay and introduce yourself so that we can get to know you. Kids that are here, we have an area at the back, and I haven't seen our nursery leader today. So it could be that they are late, but parents, heads up, you may be on extra duty today. Everyone say a little prayer that our nursery caregiver gets here in time. All right, so a few announcements from the life and work of our community. Today is a special day for Jim Harbell. Some of you will know Jim Harbell. He's a member here. He's now a minister at Metropolitan United Church. Today is his ordination day. That will be celebrated this afternoon. We put a link in the Keeping in Touch so that if you want to watch that, those of you who have supported Jim for years can tune in. I have a stole that you have all contributed towards funding, and we're going to pass it around during the service. Even if you don't know Jim personally, as the stole comes to you, you might just put your own blessing on it for his ministry and his work at Metropolitan United. So that will go around, and then this afternoon there's a small group of us from Rosedale United who will be physically at the ceremony with him. And we will gift him with this stole on behalf of all of you. We have a card at coffee hour, so please sign it before you leave today, and we'll present that to Jim as well. Some upcoming services that I want to draw your attention to. June 11th, it's our welcome to the summer season lunch. We're having full catered taco bar. It's going to be amazing and fun. And we ask you just to sign up so that we can let our caterers know how many people are going to attend. Why are we getting a caterer? Why aren't we just cooking the whole lunch ourselves? Well, because we don't want to work. We want to chill out, and this is our chance. This is a chance to celebrate you. All of you work so hard through the whole year supporting the life and work of this congregation, and we want to give you a day where we can thank you without saying, oh, and you have to cook it and clean up afterwards. So that's June 11th. You don't have to do anything. Just come and eat and be a part of celebrating this community. The next week on June 18th, we are hosting the moderator of the United Church of Canada. This is the spiritual head of our denomination, a very special service that we'll be sharing with all the other United Churches in the North Toronto Cluster. It's happening here. Mark that in your calendar, and we do hope that you can all attend. Okay, I'm turning it over to Sarah for an announcement.
Good morning. So, just to let you know, you heard our junior organ scholar Cadence Brizard play the prelude. She'll also be playing the postlude today. Cadence is getting ready for a pile of exams and performances as a young musician. Cadence is 14. She self-homeschools so that she can come down from Collingwood for various music lessons, and will be attending three different North American youth organ camps, two in the United States, one of which very prestigious, the Curtis Institute of Music Organ Camp, as well as the National Summer Organ Academy, which its concert will be happening here, by the way. She's been maybe playing quite a bit. She's getting ready for things. She needs to get her pieces all ready. And so this, a week from today, after church, you can listen to her play a casual recital of her grade 9 piano repertoire, as well as all of that music that she'll be touring, including a very fun hornpipe humoresque, which she'll be playing on the largest functioning pipe organ in the world at Macy's in Philadelphia. And that's a very fun piece. So just plan to stay after church next week. Yeah, it's, how long, maybe an hour? An hour-ish. It's not long. You can bring your coffee in. Maybe don't talk. She's practicing playing a performance. But other than that, it's really casual. So please put that in your calendars for next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. And thanks, Cadence. That's awesome for us to get a free concert from you, and we're so happy to support you as you prepare for everything that you're preparing for this summer. So Rosedale United is proud to be an affirming congregation. This is a community for all people. And we acknowledge today, as we call ourselves to worship, that we do so on land stewarded by our Indigenous siblings for millennia. I also want to acknowledge that the beautiful flowers in the sanctuary today are in loving memory of many members of the McKelvey family. Dr. Barry McKelvey, Gladys McKelvey Greenwood, Margaret McKelvey, Kent McKelvey, Anna McKelvey, and Michelle McKelvey. And as Sally, our flower arranger, was putting together the flowers, she was thinking especially of Michelle. She chose purple because she had heard from the family that purple was a color that Michelle loved. So that is in honor of Michelle. The baby's breath is there representing Michelle's beauty and youth. And the peonies, the pink peonies, are there representing the strength of the entire McKelvey clan. So I invite us now to shift gears. We're going to move more deeply into worship. I'll invite you to stand and join with Ruth in our call to worship.
We have come to celebrate the birthday of the church. We have come to celebrate Pentecost and to open ourselves to God's Spirit that it might fill us. O God, help us to direct our thoughts to you, that your power might fill this church and our lives as it filled your people throughout the ages. Teach us to be your church and your people. Amen. And let us join in singing our hymn. It's in your Voices United hymn book 296. This is God's Wondrous World.
Friends, let's take this moment to greet each other with the peace of Christ. This is a simple blessing, just turning to your neighbor and saying, "Peace be with you," and the response is, "And also with you." In this moment, I'll invite us to bless this time of learning, which we are about to enter into. I have good news, and that's that our nursery leader is here. She made it. So for all those with kids, as we sing this blessing on our learning, the kids are welcome to head downstairs. Emma's already there downstairs. With some children, so you can head downstairs. We're blessing you as you go on to your program. But this blessing isn't just for children. This is we sing this recognizing that we are all on a journey. We're learning, we're growing, and so let's join together as we sing these verses. And settling in now to whatever posture is comfortable for you. You may want to close your eyes, soften your gaze as we enter this moment of prayer, gathering ourselves as a community, gathering our own spirits from whatever we have been through already this morning, whatever our week has held. Gathering whatever anxieties and worries we may have for the week ahead or for people in our lives, we enter into a moment of silence and then a time of prayer. Let us pray. Spirit of God, you are the breath of creation, the wind of change that blows through our lives, opening us up to new dreams and new hopes, new life in Jesus Christ. Forgive us our closed minds, which barricade themselves against new ideas, preferring the past to what you might want to do through us tomorrow. Forgive our closed eyes, which fail to see the needs of your world, blind to opportunities of service and love. Forgive our closed hands, which clutch our gifts and wealth for our own use alone. Forgive our closed hearts, which limit our affections to ourselves and our own. Spirit of new life, forgive us and break down the walls of our selfishness, that we might be open to your love and open to the service of your world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." In a moment, Sarah will play some music, and this is an invitation to you to enter into a time to simply contemplate and ruminate on a question that opens the theme that we're going to be exploring together in our service and in our time. This morning, we're asking you to recall or remember a person, or maybe an experience of a church. Doesn't have to be this one, could be anyone, a person or a church that made God's love real for you. Can you recall a person or an experience that made God's love real for you? We invite you into a time of just silent meditation. Bruce McKelvey has our first reading.
A reading from the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the witness of the early church. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for learning today.
Thank you, Bruce. I want to invite us to stand as we sing, "She Comes Sailing on the Wind," an image for God's creative spirit. And a note, for this hymn, we're going to sing the chorus, and then verse 1 and 2, the chorus, then verse 5, and then the chorus. It's written in your bulletin in case you get lost.
Good morning. I'm Mary Bellinger, another one of those McKelveys. A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them, All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy."
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the vastness of creation, for the way that stretches in front of us. We gather with hope for the way that we will become.
We give you thanks for family that inspires and encourages us. For their love and words of inspiration, in a world in need of love, we give you thanks. We are blessed with teachers who guide and encourage us. We are thankful for the opportunity of learning new things every day.
We are thankful for good health that allows us to grow each day. We acknowledge that we are blessed and that others are not. We live in a world where the homeless are a crisis in our city of abundance.
Many are alone on the streets each night looking for a safe place.
Many struggle with illness, both mental and physical, feeling like there's no help or hope.
Our world is a place of sadness and violence from war and climate crisis. People struggle each day to find hope in conflict. Children grow up only knowing the sound of gunshots and bombs in too many places in the world.
A war zone is no place for a child to grow up.
A war zone is no place for families to feel safe.
Each day we hear about the climate crisis and worry about the future. More and more fires and storms signal a bleak future for the planet.
What will the world be like when I am an adult?
What will the world be like for children?
There is much to worry about, and still we have hope. Hope for a different future.
Hope for those in need.
Hope for a peaceful world. Hope that we can change where we are going into a better world. Hope that is found in you, O God. Encourage us. Inspire us to use our gifts to create a place of safety for all. Amen.
So you've heard the prayers. It's now your chance to respond. You can light a candle in memory of someone or for something that you're concerned about. You can place your offering in the back at the wooden box. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. Let us respond to what God is calling us to.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was awesome. As usual, every week, I just love what you guys perform. Let's take a moment to pray together. May the words of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So as I was putting together today's message, I was really thinking of you two, Georgia and Carolina, who are about to be confirmed on this day of Pentecost. And I know that for you two, and for everyone who's a student right now, this is the season when schoolwork really starts to ramp up. And in the coming weeks, I know that you'll be studying for exams or writing exams or working hard to get final projects finished at school. And you could think of your confirmation ceremony as just one more test that you have to get through. There's lots of similarities between school and confirmation. Just like school, the two of you had to show up for confirmation classes, you had your check-ins with Ruth, you had to pay attention, Ruth had you prepare and do homework. In a few minutes from now, we'll call you forward from what might feel like a test of sorts, as though we're gauging whether all this work has added up to having the right answers. And if this were a test, the questions would be tough. A philosophy major would have a hard time answering them. Do you believe in God who has come in Jesus and works in us and others by the Spirit? That's a difficult, complicated question for adults to answer with any kind of certainty. And you're only 13 and 15 years old. Fortunately, confirmation isn't a test. And the truth is that there isn't anyone in this room who can answer the questions that we're about to ask you with 100% certainty. Confirmation isn't about being certain. It's about having faith and committing to being a part of this community of faith. Faith is a way of seeing and engaging the world. And since we don't just look out and see the world one time or engage with the world one single time, but over and over again, faith is something you don't confirm just once, but actually over and over again. And this community that you're now going to be formally a part of, we're here to help and support each other in this work of seeing differently through the eyes of faith. Our relationship with God as people of faith always challenges us to see things differently. Jesus' disciples had gathered to honor the culmination of counting the weeks. They'd arrived at Pentecost, the 50th day after Easter. But they weren't celebrating the presence and persistence of new life. They were mourning Jesus' death. They couldn't see how they could carry on without him. Jesus had died, and then some of them had had experiences profound and mystical that had led them to believe that he was still alive in some way. And this risen Christ had said to them that he would be coming back. So the disciples had hung around Jerusalem, counting the weeks, and now it was the 50th day, and now what? They couldn't see what they should do. Should they just go home, go back to living their normal lives? Should they stay in Jerusalem? They couldn't see what to do now. The story that we're remembering today from the book of Acts is a story about God challenging those followers of Jesus to see differently. While the disciples were all together in one place, they had an experience of God that was almost impossible to capture with words. They had to describe it in images. It was like the whole room was filled with the same wind and breath that hovered over the waters of creation. It was like people's hearts were set on fire, as though people were burning with something powerful to say coming right up and out from inside of them. On that day of Pentecost, that tiny circle of Jesus' followers had an experience of God's presence palpably with them, inspiring them and igniting their hearts. They couldn't see what to do, and God challenged them to see differently. "You be the church," God was saying to them. "You carry on Jesus' work in the world while you wait for his return." The disciples' faith and their relationship with God gave them a new way of seeing. This is what all of us commit to by being a part of the church. We commit to being in a relationship that helps us to see differently. And we allow God to help us to see things differently. Carolina and Georgia, when you come up to the front in a moment and commit to cultivating your faith in God, it gives all of us a chance in our hearts to commit alongside you again to seeing things differently and to noticing all the ways in which God is involved in our own lives and the life of the world. And Carolina and Georgia, when you come up to the front and profess your faith that God is at work in you and others by the Spirit, it will give all of us in this community a chance to say in our hearts again that we're also open to noticing when God's Spirit might be at work in us. Today, you will make a commitment to being a part of the church, to a lifelong project of learning to see differently, learning to see with the eyes of God. And we also have the chance in our hearts to affirm our own commitment to being a part of the church. I say that learning to see differently is a lifelong project because it is. Most of us don't learn this new way of looking at things overnight. Seeing the world through the eyes of faith is the practice of a lifetime, which is why I said at the outset that this is the first of many confirmations for the two of you. And while this first confirmation takes place in a church, the others will likely happen out in the world. You'll confirm your faith by your locker at school or out with friends on Friday nights. You'll confirm your faith at the mall or at camp, and these confirmations won't happen in words, but in your actions. Others will know you see things differently because of the way you treat them. And the things that you do or do not say about them, and the efforts you make to include them. The work you both eventually end up doing might be a way that you confirm your faith. People who seek justice and resist evil and live with respect in creation never tire of things to do. If you are in a committed relationship one day, you might find that the ways in which you show love to your partner confirms your faith. Your friends will feel your faith by the way you listen and support them. How will you show people around the world and in your local community that they are not alone? If you have children one day, how will they know that they are well cared for? The way you talk, The way you listen, the way you show your care at home, in the world, you'll go from here to find that life offers one opportunity after another for confirmation. And we don't go it alone. Pay close attention to the words of the confirmation ceremony, and you'll hear that God makes a confirmation as well. So confirmation is not a test, it's an attitude. It's a way of seeing things, a means of carrying yourself through all of your days. I will pour out my spirit on all people, God says. And confirmation is your chance to say, I see it. Your spirit is in me too. Amen.
At various moments on the journey of our life in Christ, we have the opportunity to reaffirm and renew the faith proclaimed in baptism. As those who have been baptized profess for themselves the faith of the Christian community in which they have been nurtured, we gather to reaffirm the power of the Holy Spirit and to celebrate the place of these youth in the people of God. We give thanks for their gifts as witnessed in this community of faith and a promise to continue to walk with them. With joy and thanksgiving, we celebrate the faith we all share and rededicate ourselves to the life and work of the body of Christ. I would like to call up Carolina Jane Kelly Chong and Georgia Magdalena Kelly Chong, the daughters of Julia Kelly and Wayne Chong, who will be seek to renew their faith proclaimed in their baptism and become members of the congregation of Rosedale United Church. So I ask these questions to you. Do you believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, and who works in us and others by the Spirit? Will you follow in the way of Jesus Christ, resisting oppression and evil, seeking justice and witnessing to God's love for all creation?
I will. God be my helper.
Will you proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, in your words and actions?
I will. God be my helper.
Will you join with your brothers and sisters in the community of faith to celebrate God's presence, live with respect in creation, and love and serve others?
I will. God be my helper.
And recognizing that confirmation involves a commitment of the whole congregation to love and nurture and support, will you join with me? As a baptized and baptizing church, will you continue to support and nurture these persons within a community which worships God, resists evil, and seeks justice?
God be our helper.
And I'll invite you to stand as we affirm together our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
And I'd like to invite the parents to come forward as well. Confirm, O God, this your child, Carolina, that she may continue in your ways forever. Amen. And the congregation says, Amen.
And Carolina, I mark you with the sign of the cross,
noting and celebrating that you are God's beloved child now and forever.
Amen. Confirm, O God, this your child, Georgia, that she may continue in your ways forever. And the congregation says, Amen. Amen.
And Georgia, I anoint you and mark you with the sign of the cross, a sign and celebration that you are God's beloved child, now and forever. Amen.
We believe in God.
Stay right there. Okay.
We believe that God is three persons in one, the Holy Trinity. The symbol of the Trinity is the old triangle in the Celtic tradition. We light this candle. To remind you that you now carry the light of God, the three in one. God the Father, God found in Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And since it's a birthday, it's birthday of the church, but it's a big celebration for you guys. You become part of a whole church. You're full members of the United Church of Canada. Board members, they can now be board members. They can sit on committees. So, and you are members of the Holy Catholic Church, which has been around for thousands of years. Thank you. It has been a privilege journeying with you these past few months. Thank you for your gifts.
And so we say to our confirmands, go out into the world in the power of the Spirit, pursue justice, faith, love, patience, and humility, for to this you were called. And we sing together, O breath of life.
Thank you.
Friends, we go out receiving the gifts of this time together, the life that is community, the love that is the divine presence with us, and the power that is the Holy Spirit. Receive these gifts, and with all your siblings in Christ, continue to grow in faith, trusting in God's promises. We go together, we sing our sung blessing.